I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is so good to see you in the house of the Lord, and let us all remember that time is passing very, very quickly. All right, we are already near the end of September, and soon we will be entering into the last quarter of the year, and in next to no time, Christmas will be here. Isn't it true? So you see how fast time flies. Now the pertinent question for all of us to ask is always this: what have we done for the Lord Jesus Christ? We know that He is coming, and when He comes, will we be ready to meet Him? Will we hear Him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," or when He comes, we are not prepared at all? And I'm very concerned for those who are still outside the Lord Jesus Christ and those who are not sure whether they are truly believers or not. Why don't you make it very, very sure this morning and come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior and live lives that are pleasing to Him, glorifying to Him, and be very, very assured of your salvation. The topic this morning is Jesus was troubled for our sake. He was troubled for our sake, and I speak from John 13, 21 to 30. Now, Jesus was a Jew. The people who should be following Him, people who should be believing in Him, people who should be receiving Him, ought to be the Jews. But we know that that wasn't the case. Now, the Jews rejected their Savior. Their Savior came to them, but they rejected Him. Yes. Now, they couldn't accept this Messiah because they could not accept a suffering Messiah. What they wanted and what they were looking forward to was a powerful military Messiah, like the great King David, who would lead them from victory to victory. And most of all, of course, to deliver them from the rule of the Romans. And when Jesus came in the form of a son of a poor carpenter from the village of Nazareth, they simply could not accept Him as the Messiah. They rejected Him. You see, the problem with the Jews is they picked and they chose what they wanted to believe from the Old Testament. And so what did they pick? And what did they choose? They chose the parts that talk about the glory of the Messiah. They completely neglected and ignored the parts that talk about the sufferings of the Messiah. And it is the same today. Yes, the Jews are still looking for that kind of a Messiah, powerful military Messiah that will lead them from victory to victory. But friends, it's very, very clear. The Old Testament tells us very, very clearly that the Messiah in His first coming must necessarily be a suffering Messiah. Now, it is true, in His second coming, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will come as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ruler of them. He will manifestly show that He is indeed the ruler of the whole wide universe. And He will come and establish His kingdom on this earth. And that is indisputably true. Yes. But in His first coming, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ must be a suffering Messiah. And this is very, very clearly taught to us, shown to us in the book of prophecies. For example, in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 53, verses 2 to 5. Yes, Isaiah 53, verses 2 to 5. We know this to be true. For He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from Him. And He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God. But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. So the book of Isaiah says about Him in His first coming. He came as the suffering Messiah. Yes. And the Jews rejected Him because He was a suffering Messiah. Then we read in John chapter 13 verse 21, the verse that we read earlier on in that passage, John 13:21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit. He was troubled in spirit, and testified, and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. He was troubled in spirit. Yes, this was indicative of the part of the troubles and the sufferings our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would go through for us while he ministered on this earth. Now this morning, I'd like us first of all to consider some of the troubles that he experienced, and most of all, of course, the experience, the sufferings that he went through for us on the cross of Calvary. I'd like us first of all to consider, number one, the troubles he suffered for us. The troubles he suffered for us. Number two, the troubles caused by the trouble causer, the evil one, Satan. And finally, I'd like us to focus on this person, Judas. Judas succumbing to the troubling of the evil one. Now think of the troubles he suffered for us. First, as we said, he came into his own, the Jews, and the Jews received him not. That was one trouble that he faced when he was ministering on this earth. The Jews were disappointed in him. They were expecting a powerful Messiah, and here came this suffering Messiah. Yes, and the Lord Jesus Christ had to contend with that opposition during his ministry on this earth. And then when he performed the miracle of feeding the 5,000, the Jews who saw the miracle, experienced the miracle, thought, now all their social problems are solved. Yes, here is the Messiah. So they thought, the Messiah who would provide for their social needs. They were looking for a Messiah who would feed their stomachs. And here was one who could feed their stomachs. And so they wanted to take him by force to set him up as a king. But he told them, they that eat this kind of food, this kind of bread, will perish. Yes, they that ate this kind of meat, they shall perish, or they would perish. And then he offered himself as the bread of life to the people. But did they receive this bread? No, they were not interested. We read in John 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He is the spiritual food to the soul. Anybody wanting spiritual life must feed on him. They must believe on him. They must receive him. And as we said, of course the Jews couldn't accept that. They were not interested in spiritual food. They were only interested in the physical. And so they rejected this Messiah. So this was one big trouble that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ experienced. The opposition from the Jews, the rejection from the Jews. And then the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they hounded the Lord Jesus Christ. That was another trouble that he encountered or he had to face many, many times. The leaders hated him. They set up all kinds of traps to try to trap the Lord Jesus Christ into saying something about which they could bring an accusation against him. So there was this occasion when the question of paying tax to Caesar was raised. They asked the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, is it lawful to pay tax to Caesar? And then the Lord Jesus Christ took a coin and asked, what image is on this coin? And they said, it's Caesar's image. And the Lord said, render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. Now the Lord's answer to them was, of course, absolutely wise. Because if the Lord had said, it's lawful to pay tax to Caesar, you know what the Jews will accuse him of? The Jews will say, you are a traitor. You are not loyal to the Jews. You are showing your loyalty to the Romans. But if the Lord Jesus had said, it is not lawful to pay tax to Caesar, then they will say, well, you see, you are a lawbreaker. You have broken the laws of the Romans. He would have done something that was illegal. So you see, on many occasions they tried to trap the Lord Jesus, but the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, was too smart, too wise for them. And so in this instance he said, render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. And what did they do? They finally crucified him. Yes, that's what they did. Then think of the troubles his disciples were giving him. We're talking about the troubles our Lord Jesus Christ suffered when he ministered on this earth. Now think of the troubles his disciples were giving him. They were so close to him, but they were so slow of heart to believe all that the word in the Old Testament said about him. Yes, and it was a really big challenge required of the Lord to deal with his disciples, because they were of little faith, and on many occasions they showed that they didn't have faith. Yes, and like the Jews, they thought that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to set up an earthly kingdom, earthly political kingdom. They were very, very shallow in their understanding of Holy Scriptures. They didn't understand Moses, they didn't understand prophets, the books of the prophets, which told them very, very clearly that the Messiah in his first coming must necessarily be a suffering Messiah before he could be exalted. And as a result of that kind of thinking, the disciples were always quarreling with one another. They wanted to be the number one in his kingdom, and so they quarreled with one another. And the Lord Jesus Christ had to teach them humility. The Lord had to teach them how to wash one another's feet. And the Lord told them, you want to be great in my kingdom, alright? Serve one another. Be humble, serve one another, and you may be great in my kingdom. And then their unbelief was really very astounding, as we said. On many occasions, the Lord had to say this to them, O ye of little faith, how is it that you have no faith? Now, these were the disciples that the Lord had to be dealing with. He must have applied himself to be very, very long-suffering, to be very, very forbearing. He must have shown himself to be very, very loving and merciful towards his disciples. And isn't that the way the Lord deals with us also? Yes, always very long-suffering towards us, always very, very forbearing. Then think of the trouble he went through for us in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for us before he went to the cross. Yes, he sorrowed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Sorrowed for what? Of course, sorrowed for our sins. Yes, that was the kind of trouble that he went through. Then think of the cross. There, what did he do? He bore the full wrath of the Heavenly Father for our sake, for our sins. He bore the full wrath of God. He was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then on the cross of Calvary, yes, the Heavenly Father turned his face away from the Son when the Son was bearing the sins of the world. So much so that the Son cried out, Father, Father, yes, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yes, because the Father at that time had to turn away from the Son because the Son was bearing the filth and the sins of the world. Now, think of the present trouble that he was going through at that time. After the washing of the feet of the disciples, and think of that trouble that he was going through. And it was perhaps one of the greatest troubles that our Lord experienced while he ministered on this earth. What was it, friends? It was to see one whom he loved very, very dearly, even his disciple Judas, betraying him. Yes, how sad, how painful it must have been for the Lord to see one whom he loved so dearly betraying him. The psalmist, the great King David, perhaps had expressed this pain of the Lord Jesus Christ in Psalm 55 verses 12 to 14. I'd like us to turn to these few verses. Psalm 55, but keep your finger at John 13. But turn with me please to Psalm 55. And you have a feel of how perhaps our Lord felt when he was betrayed by Judas. And this was the experience of David when he was betrayed by his good friend by the name of Ahithophel. All right. Psalm 55 verses 12 to 14. I read for you. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man my equal, my guide and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Now this was the man who betrayed David. Yes. Now Ahithophel was actually David's good friend. He was David's counselor. A very, very close counselor to David. And David here says that they went to worship together. Yes. But this man became a traitor. Because when David's son Absalom tried to usurp the throne of David, this man, Ahithophel, fell onto the side of Absalom to fight against David. Surely it was very, very painful for David to bear that kind of treachery. And this psalmist, surely expresses how the Lord felt when he was betrayed by Judas. The Lord had loved all his disciples, including, of course, Judas. How painful. Because this man was handpicked by him, chosen by him, walked 3 years with him, was so close to him, and yet he betrayed him. Now perhaps this story might help us understand the kind of trouble and pain our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went through when he was betrayed by Judas. Now the older ones here would possibly remember that Germany was not always one country. All right. Germany actually, after the Second World War, up to the 1980s, was actually divided for many years, into two countries. East Germany and West Germany. Now, East Germany was communist. West Germany belonged to the free world. And the capital of the two Germanies was, of course, Berlin. And Berlin, of course, was divided also into East Germany and West Germany. And the East Germany, the communists, actually set up a wall, raised up a wall called the Berlin Wall. And for many years, when the East Germans tried to run to the West, they got killed while trying to do so. Yes, they were shot to death when they tried to do that. Now, of course, in East Germany, in communist East Germany, there were those who were anti-communist. Yes, they didn't like communism, they were anti-communist. And some of them were, of course, fighting against the communists. And they had to go underground. Among them was this woman. Yes, but one day she was discovered to be anti-communist, and because of that, she had to go to jail. Yes, and then in the 1980s, something very wonderful happened. The communists in East Germany realized that communism wasn't working at all, because the economy of East Germany was really in terrible, terrible, terrible shape. The country was virtually bankrupt. And they decided to give up communism. And so what they did was they brought down the Berlin Wall. Yes, the Germans brought down the Berlin Wall. And so East and West Germany became reunited. Now after the reunification, of course, the prisoners were released, including this woman. And then all the records that describe how they were exposed, how they were captured, were published. And so this woman also knew how she was captured by the communists. And when she discovered how she was caught, she was horrified. Yes, she was completely shattered. She discovered that she was actually betrayed. Yes, and when she knew who it was who betrayed her, when she saw that, she read that, she literally felt nauseated and she vomited right away. You know who betrayed her? Her husband. Yes, her husband betrayed her to the communists. The husband sold her to the communists. My dear friends, surely it was most, most painful to the Lord to suffer the trouble of being betrayed by this disciple of his, whom he loved very, very dearly. Yes, Indeed, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ drank every bitter cup of agony. The bitterness of the cup, my dear friends, is something way, way beyond our imagination. And he did all this for what? For whose sake? For your sake, for my sake. Yes, for your sake and for my sake. He suffered that we might be saved. As we quoted many times, he was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Friends, let us with grateful hearts this morning look to the Lord. Look unto the Lord and see all the troubles that he suffered for us. Let us be faithful and true to him. My dear friends, as we think of the sufferings that he bore for us, let us be faithful and true to him in every situation that he has placed us in. Whether it be in our school, whether it be in the home, whether it be in our workplace, my dear friends, let us confess him boldly. Let us not deny him. And most of all, by the grace of God, let us pray that we will never betray him. And let us never compromise, my dear friends, our beliefs. We have our beliefs here. We know our beliefs are right. Let us not compromise our beliefs by accepting the false teachings of the health and wealth gospel, for example. Now, if our Master and Lord had gone through the trouble of being betrayed, he's our Master and our Lord. He had gone through the trouble of being betrayed. We who are his servants, can we expect that we will not be ill-treated? Can we expect that we will not be ill-used and forsaken? Can we expect that? We are his servants. No, friends, we should expect that to happen to us also. So if such things do come to us, let us not be surprised, because our Master suffered. Yes, he was the Master, he suffered. We are his servants. Naturally, we would have to suffer too. If those whom we care for and those whom we love should forsake us and speak ill of us, my dear friends, let us not be surprised. But like the Lord, let us continue to love them. The Lord says in Matthew 5:44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies." Did the Lord stop loving Judas? No, my dear friends. Our Lord loved Judas even up to the end. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And do you know how much the Lord really loved Judas? Actually, the Lord loved Judas very, very much. He actually gave him another chance, alright? It is not explicitly said so, but if you read scripture very carefully, you realize that actually the Lord gave him another chance. You look at John 13:21 again. Now, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit. That's what we've been talking about this morning. Our Lord Jesus experienced great troubles while he ministered on this earth. And testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." Now, you think of the 12 disciples, alright, seated with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord said, "One of you shall betray me." Did not Judas know that the Lord was talking about him? Of course he knew, yes. And the Lord here was actually saying this to Judas. "Judas, you have been discovered. Here is one more chance for you. Repent before it is too late." But Judas did not take heed. He went out and he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, my dear friends, the kind of troubles our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went through for us. Even to suffer the pain of being betrayed by someone whom he loved dearly. Now let's next consider the troubles caused by the evil one. Now we see in this chapter how actively Satan was involved in the betrayal of our Savior. Look at John 13:2. John 13:2. "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." So, who was it to put into the heart of Judas to betray Jesus? Look, it was Satan, right? The devil. And then, John 13:27. "And after the sop, Satan entered into him." You see, Satan entered into Judas. Then said Jesus unto Judas, that thou doest, do quickly. After the sop. The sop here refers to a morsel of food which the Lord Jesus Christ had dipped into a common dish and had given to Judas. After he had taken the sop, yes, the word of God says, Satan entered into him. Then Jesus said unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Satan was the originator of all evils. He was lifted up with pride. Originally, he was that beautiful angel called Lucifer. But he was lifted up with pride. He wanted to be like the one true living God himself. And lifted up with pride, he fell and he was cast up from heaven. Then in the Garden of Eden, he caused our first parents, Adam and Eve, to fall. And the tactic that he made use of in the Garden of Eden is the same tactic that he makes use of here in dealing with Judas. He began with suggestions. And here he suggested to Judas, yes, the devil had been put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him. He put into the heart of Judas the idea to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, in the Garden of Eden, he did the same thing with Eve, the mother of mankind. Yes, he put into the heart of Eve to appreciate the beauty of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And then he told Eve, yes, this is good food for you. Yes, you partake of it, you will have the knowledge of good and evil. And then your eyes will be opened. You'll be like God himself. Eve was taken in by the suggestion of the evil one, and she partook of the fruit. Yes, she sinned. And Adam, and then she gave to Adam, our first father. He partook of the fruit, and he sinned. He fell, and he sinned, and he caused the whole human race to fall with him. Now, let us be wary of the suggestions of the evil one. He's pursuing hard. Yes, he's pursuing hard to put ideas into our hearts and our minds. And of course, all the ideas that he tries to put into our hearts and minds are evil ideas, never good ideas. Now, to the younger ones, the ideas that he could be putting into you could be through peer pressure. Isn't it true? Don't you experience peer pressure? Yes, you do. And through peer pressure, Satan could be putting ideas into your head and into your hearts. Yeah, and the suggestion would be this: others are doing it, why aren't you doing it? Experiment with sex, experiment with drugs. These are all very exciting things to have. You do not know how enjoyable, how exciting they are. You do not know what you are missing. Try, experiment. Now, these are evil suggestions from the evil one. Now, in a sexually promiscuous environment like Australia, it is not surprising that if lots of young people were to have lost their virginity by the time they reach the age of year 12. But young friends, even if the majority has succumbed to the suggestion of the devil to experiment with sex or with other kinds of sinful pleasures, you don't have to. Yes, you don't have to, and you must not. You see, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is the temple of God. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price, even with the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes. And you really have the power not to sin if you choose not to sin. I'll talk more about it in a while's time. And to the older ones, yes, the suggestion could be this, as we said many times before. Yes, live it up. Live it up like the Joneses. Yes, what they have, we say we must have also. Now, to succumb to the suggestion, to this suggestion to live it up like the Joneses is to succumb to the sin of the pride of life. To succumb to this sin, my dear friends, is to succumb to the sin of envy and to the sin of covetousness. What I don't have, I must have. Essentially, that's what we are saying. What I don't have, I must have. Now, John 13:27. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Yes, we are talking about the troubles caused by the evil one. Satan entered into Judas. Now, did not Satan already possess Judas? What do you think? Did he or had he or had he not possessed Judas? Here we read, Satan entered into him. My dear friends, Satan had already possessed Judas. Yes, yes. And but what this verse is teaching us is that those who allow themselves to be used by the evil one, if you allow yourself to be used by the evil one, the more he will exert his influence over you. Yes. So Judas was willing to be used by the evil one, and so the evil one exerted greater influence over him. Yes, he had already possessed him, but here the word of God says that he entered into him. Yes, Satan's desire is actually to completely destroy believers. That's what his intent is. It is to destroy us. Now the word of God tells us that he is a roaring lion. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now the lion is a very, very terrifying animal, according to a missionary that went to Africa. He says there are three kinds of beasts that would wait for their prey. Yes, the hyena, the leopard, and the lion. Now the hyena would attack the animal, and then the hyena would just go for the vital organs of the animal. It eats up the vital organs, and it eats a few mouthfuls, and then it goes away. Now what about the leopard? Now the leopard is interested in the blood of the prey. It just wants to drink the blood of the prey, and then eats a few morsels of meat, and then it goes away. But what about the lion? I say, when the lion attacks, it doesn't leave anything behind. It chews up everything, swallows everything. That, my dear friends, that is how much Satan wants to devour us. Yes, he wants to devour everything. He wants to destroy us completely. Let us understand this truth. But friends, be comforted, be encouraged. If we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not helpless against the evil one, because Satan is a defeated foe. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had destroyed him on the cross of Calvary. His power has been destroyed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can have victory over him, because the word of God tells us very, very clearly that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. So, my dear friends, we have the power and the ability to overcome the evil one. But first of all, we must recognize that Satan exists. And he's a real being. Yes, and he's a real enemy. And recognize that he is powerful. Recognize that we are no match for him by our own strength. But we may overcome him. Yes, we may overcome him by the blood of Christ, and we may overcome him by the word of God. Yes, the word of God tells us this. We may overcome him by the blood of Christ, and we may overcome him by the word of God. How, friends? Every day what we need to do is we need to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse us of all our sins by his precious blood. Some people who are doing casting out of demons think that there's special power in some kinds of blood, and it's always so when they are confronted, when they are trying to cast out demons, they will sing this song, there is power in the blood of Christ. My dear friends, that's not what is being spoken of here. Friends, the blood of, if we want to overcome the evil one, every day we must come before the Lord Jesus Christ and ask the Lord to cleanse us by his precious blood and make us pure before him. Yes, and then every day we must read his word. His word cleanses us from sins also. When we read his word, we are cleansed. When we read his word, we are fed, we are strengthened. Yes, and so by his blood and by his word, we are able to overcome him. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him. The saints overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So we overcome him by his word and by his blood. And next, how to overcome him? We must resist him. Yes, when he comes with his suggestions, what do we do? Of course we must say no. when he makes any suggestions to us, my dear friends, we must resist him. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And that's what we must do. He comes with his suggestions, resist him, and he will flee from you. Don't ask for trouble. Of course, none of us would be foolish enough to go near a lion. We'll never do that. But friends, you know how foolish we are in regards to our relationship with the evil one. Yes, many times we tempt temptation. Yes, we go so near to the evil one. When the word of God tells us very, very clearly, abstain from all appearance of evil. Now what does the word of God say? Abstain from evil? No. The word of God says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Anything that appears to be evil, you abstain. Don't go near and try to test whether it's evil or not. You don't have to test. If it appears to be evil, that's it. Abstain. Yes. And don't try to get so smart as to try how close you can be to evil before you fall over. You try to do it, you try to test yourself, I can tell you this, you'll surely fall over. So don't try to test. Alright, if you see anything that appears to be evil, abstain from it. And when you are caught in a situation where you are likely to commit sin, what do? Stay around? My dear friends, flee. Your friends, your colleagues, your business partners may try to get you into a situation in which you may be able to get wealth, you may become materially prosperous, but you know that if you got into that situation, you're not going to glorify God, you're going to sin against God. What do, friends? Stay around? No, my dear friends, get out of it quickly. Flee. The word is flee. Alright, don't try to bargain, don't try to argue, my dear friends, don't try to rationalize. Flee right away. Alright, so you see, this trouble causer always tries to cause troubles for us because his whole intent is to devour us. So let us be aware of his tactics and his method of operation. Finally, let us consider Judas. Alright, Judas. And this was the man who succumbed to the troubling of the devil. Now he was the one who walked 3 years with the Lord. He was in the presence of holiness. But the sad thing was, although he was in the presence of holiness, yes, he never embraced holiness. He was given the power of being an apostle, just like the other apostles. He preached, and surely he must have been given that gift to cast out demons, and surely he must have been given the gift to perform great miracles. But friends, his heart was as unholy as ever. He never embraced holiness. Some said, oh, Judas backslided and he became an apostate. Now the truth of the matter is this. Judas never had a position of truth to backslide from. He never was a believer in the first instance. His heart was evil right from the very beginning. He never was saved. Often people ask this question. If a person is a believer, if he backslides, can he be saved? My dear friends, of course if he is a true believer, even if he has backslidden, he will still be saved. But friends, I dare say that in many instances, these people who have appeared to have backslidden and appeared to have been believers were not believers in the first instance. They had no position of truth to backslide from. Not believers. My dear friends, they are like Judas of old. Now the story of Judas tells us we could be very, very closely associated with holy things. We could come from godly homes, and we could receive very, very pure teachings of the Word of God. And every Lord's Day we come to church with the family, we receive the Word of Truth preached from this pulpit week after week. Yes, and then we were baptized. We even partake of the Lord's Supper. And then we read God's Word, we sing hymns. But at the end of the day, we could be no better than Judas. We are lost, as it were. Yes, because we never truly repented from our sins. Just like Judas, who never truly repented from his sins. Now, Judas was in all appearance a believer, an apostle. like the other apostles. No one suspected that he was not a believer. No one suspected that he was a betrayer. And this was the reaction of the disciples when the Lord said that one of you is going to betray me. Alright, look at John 13:22. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now, did they suspect that it was Judas who was going to betray the Lord? Of course not. Look at verse 27, and I read that from 27 to 29. And after the sop, Satan entered into Judas. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now, no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. 29. For some of them thought, because Judas had a bag, the money bag, he was the treasurer, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. They did not realize that the Lord Jesus Christ was asking Judas to do quickly what he had in mind to do, and that was to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, they thought that the Lord Jesus Christ had sent him out to do a legitimate errand because he was in charge of the money bag. They thought that the Lord had sent him up to buy something to prepare themselves for the Passover feast, or that the Lord had sent him to go out to give something to the poor. They didn't realize that the Lord had sent him out because this man was bent on carrying out what he wanted to do, his murderous act of betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that is how well false believers, my dear friends, can disguise themselves. They are in every appearance believers, but in truth, they are not. Friends, let us be true to the Lord. Let us be very, very sincere to Him. Let's search our hearts, friends. The Lord knows our hearts. We can pull wool over other people's eyes, but you can be sure, my dear friends, we can't pull wool over the eyes of the Lord. He knows everything about us. He knows every secret about us. Yes, sad would be the day, my dear friends, if we had been putting up this disguise, masquerading as believers, when on the day of reckoning we hear the Lord say this to us, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. How sad it would be if the Lord were to say this to us. Finally, I'd like us to see that the Lord Jesus Christ finally gave up on Judas. He gave up on Judas. The Lord loved him up to the end. As we said, he gave him another chance. Yes, but Judas didn't want to take that chance. Yes, but this disciple was indeed very, very unrepentant. He was covetous. He was so close to the kingdom of God physically, very close, walking with the Lord, but he never was in the kingdom of God. Yes, spiritually he was lost. He kept on resisting the light that actually shone in the hearts of the other disciples. He kept on resisting that light. He kept on resisting the knowledge of truth. Judas was past feelings. The Word of God says, yes, people can be past feelings. It was past feelings. His conscience was seared. His heart was stone hard. He was blind and deaf spiritually because God had judicially blinded him and caused him to be deaf. The Lord had no choice, but finally, the Lord had to give him over to a reprobate mind. I've used this term many times, reprobate mind. It means a mind that is incapable of repenting. You keep rejecting, you keep rejecting, you keep rejecting. A time will come when you are totally unable to repent. How sad that will be, my dear friends. You hear the truth every Sunday, but you keep rejecting. One day, the Lord said, all right, you reject, right? I withdraw my grace from you. And that's what is meant by you become judicially blinded, judicially deaf. He withdraws his grace from you, and you're finished. You will be totally incapable of repenting. John 13:27. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou wast doest, do quickly. My dear friends, I trust this morning as you hear the truth of the gospel, if you are still outside the kingdom, you could be physically very close to the kingdom. You live in a family in which members of the home are believers. You come to church, you are surrounded by believers. You come to church, you hear the truth Sunday after Sunday, but you say, no, 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 no. One day, it will be the end of you, friends. You will be like Judas. God will have given up on you. So the Lord had gone through great troubles for us. While on earth, he was hated by the scribes and the Pharisees. On earth, he was rejected by the Jews. He had to contend with the opposition of the Jews. And he had to be very, very long-suffering, forbearing in dealing with his disciples who were so slow of heart to believe in him and who had practically no faith in him. And then he had to experience the suffering of being betrayed by somebody whom he loved very, very dearly. Then think of the troubles that he went through for us in the Garden of Gethsemane. He sorrowed for our sins. Then think of the trouble that he went through for us on the cross of Calvary. He shed his precious blood for us on the cross of Calvary. He paid for our sins with his life. My dear friends, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, how grateful are we to him? Now, if indeed we are grateful to him, my dear friends, we must show that we are grateful to him by loving him with all our heart, our soul, mind, and our strength. We show that we are grateful to him by being loyal to him, by not denying him, and most of all, by not betraying him. Then consider the devil, the troublemaker. He originated sin. He put into the hearts of Judas to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, let us be very, very wary of his suggestions. Remember, he is as a roaring lion who walks about seeking whom he may devour. His intention is to completely devour us. My dear friends, be watchful of him. But friends, let us be encouraged. Yes, we have our Lord Jesus Christ on our side. We may be able to overcome the evil one. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And we may overcome him by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and by his word. Be cleansed by his blood, be cleansed by his word, be nourished by his word, so that we may have the strength to overcome him. And also, if we want to overcome him, abstain from all appearance of evil. If you want to overcome him, resist the evil one, and he will flee from us. Yes. Then finally, my dear friends, consider Judas. He came into contact with holiness, but as we said, he never embraced it. He kept rejecting the light of truth. He kept rejecting the knowledge of truth. My dear friends, what about us here? Friends, you have been hearing the truth. I trust this morning will be a time when you say, Lord, no more, no more. I do not reject the truth. This morning, I want to receive this truth. My dear friends, if that is your desire, the Lord will surely welcome you with open arms. Yes, if you want to receive him this morning, he will gladly come into your hearts if you are very, very sincere about it. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word of truth. Teach us, O Lord God, to love you and to serve you in the way that you want us to serve. Lord, we thank you for the troubles and the sufferings that the Lord Jesus Christ went through for us. And as we consider all those troubles that he went through for our sake, teach us, O Lord God, to be very, very grateful to him for all that he did for us. Help us, O Lord God, in gratitude to love him with all our heart, our soul, mind, and our strength, and be faithful to him. Lord, we pray that we may be true to him. We pray that we may not deny him, and most of all, never to betray him. And Lord, this morning, we pray that we may be watchful against the suggestions of the evil one. Father, we know that he tries to devour us, but we thank you that you who are in us is greater than he that is in the world. Father, we pray that we may go about in our Christian life with this confidence, but we pray also that we may exercise the discipline of abstaining from all evil and to resist the evil one always, and to flee when we are ever caught in a situation that might lead us to sin. And Lord, we pray for those who are still outside your kingdom. We pray that they will never reject you, They will not reject you, or they have been rejecting you. They will stop rejecting you this morning and come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. In His precious name we pray. Amen.